You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. Third hour is on. Israel considering full-scale invasion of Lebanon, strikes over 300 Hezbollah targets. That's the headline of the show at InfoWars.com and band.video. We got to your phone calls once again. We've got Hobbs in Nebraska, who's called in about the Middle East and Trump assassinations. I thought this related well to what Henry was saying. The baffling stance of Trump to be so over the top pro-Israel when every Israeli group is arrayed against him and Jews don't vote for him. And there's a huge contingent of Democrats who reject the Democrat Party on the basis that they're not sufficiently anti-Israel. Why is he not pushing himself as the peace candidate? Why is he doing things like saying, if I get assassinated, we're going to go to war with Iran? Just utter madness. Hobbs, what do you got for me?
Hey, good morning, Harrison. Good morning, InfoWarriors. It's your boy, Hobbs, the Roast of Liberty. Yeah, unfortunately, the two things that I called in aren't connected in that way, but I will say briefly that I think that Trump's slobbering devotion to Israel is more pandering towards the evangelical Christian Zionists than it is to that 0.5% of the U.S. Jewish population.
That is a good point.
Because there's one thing we know about Christian evangelical Zionists is that they will die for Israel. They will burn the entire country to the ground.
They are on average more pro-Israel than Jews. Yes, that is strange but true. Very good point, Hobbs.
So anyways, first off, about the situation in the Middle East, unfortunately, there's only three outcomes that this is going to end in. The first is a maintenance of the status quo for the last 80-some-odd years, and that is one side engages in a small attack, the other side retaliates against that retaliation, and it's just on and on forever. Option two is one side or the other is completely displaced from the region, which isn't likely to happen because they both are levying ancestral claims to that territory. And option three is one side wipes out the other one completely. And unfortunately, option number one seems to be the least bad out of the trifecta of terrible choices. Israel seems hell-bent for leather on option number three, but I think they'll settle for number two if they can get away with it. And unfortunately, there's nothing that anyone in this country can do that's going to break out of that. I think that aside from God himself splitting the clouds and looking down and telling both sides to cut the crap, this is just going to go on forever. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about was the Trump assassination stuff in the media. And you kind of hit on it, is that this, for the last 8 or 9 years, we've been just gaslit about how terrible a person Trump is. And I think Alex played a clip from C-SPAN where a guy claiming to be a 20-year veteran called in and he was like praising the assassins and saying that this is the sort of thing that needs to be done because, you know, Trump's a tyrant, right? He's the reincarnation of Hitler and stuff, right? And there's even one utterly mad argument that I've seen a few lefties use online recently, and it's like, hey guys, I thought this is what the Second Amendment was for. Isn't it for shooting the tyrants? And the thing is that if all of the things that they're saying about Trump were true, if he was a tyrant, he was going to engage in some type of ethnic cleansing campaign against every non-white in the country, or all the other stuff they're saying, if any of that were true, then yes, a Second Amendment solution would absolutely be justified. But it's not true. And the media knows it. And until they come out publicly and say, hey, guys, we pushed this too far. Trump is not Hitler. We need to just cool off a little bit. And if they don't come out and admit they're wrong, then this is going to keep happening. People are going to keep trying to kill him.
Yeah,
unfortunately, I don't think they're willing to eat that crow.
No, you're exactly right. No, and they're never going to. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're doing it on purpose. So you're exactly right. But no, they're never going to admit that they were lying. They're only going to double down. And it's really up to us to take them seriously. We'll be right back.
Turmeric has been used as a medicine for thousands of years to treat digestive disorders, respiratory problems, arthritis, and depression. It has strong anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, antimicrobial, and antioxidant properties, and is one of the most effective anti-inflammatory medications available. The Powerful Bodies formula at InfoWarsStore.com includes 95% curcuminoids, Boswellia serrata extract, organic sage leaf, organic lemon balm leaf, organic thyme leaf, and piperine from black pepper. Bodies is arguably the best turmeric formula available. Get it now. Support free speech and support the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. We're getting a lot of calls here on today's episode of American Journal about Israel and what's going on there and what comes next. I do want to ask you once again to go to InfoWarsStore.com to support everything that we do here, which is just try to tell you the truth. Try to discern what the attacks of the mainstream media and the powers that be, what they're planning, and how to defend against it. Support us at InfoWarsStore.com. It's the only way that we get support. And of course, Alex Jones is on the road this week with Tucker Carlson, confronting people like Francis Collins. And if nothing else, support the fact that we are an outlet that doesn't just talk the talk, we walk the walk. And are not afraid to take this argument to the real world. You're getting 40% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion right now. One of our, if not the most top-selling product of all time at InfoWarsStore.com. 40% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion. And might I suggest you try Nitric Boost, the incredible vasodilation effects are something you will notice 100%. With that, I want to go to Lebanon John. He, of course, is my co-host at Moonbase Live and, as always, keeping his finger on the pulse of the Middle East, Lebanon John on line 12. Have you been keeping up with what's been going on in Lebanon, John? Because we are getting a lot of different numbers, a lot of different accounts, hundreds of people dead or injured, obviously, but what the exact count is or how many areas they've hit or whether they're hitting Hezbollah or just bombing random neighborhoods, it's all kind of, the news is still coming in. But have you been following what's been going on the last 24 hours, and what do you know about it?
Yeah, so the latest report is the Israeli government said we struck about 800 targets this morning. So just the sheer quantity of targets is quite impressive. The last war with 2006 with Lebanon, Israel had an Air Force bombing a lot of stuff. The way that war went, and honestly, this may be somewhat of a repeat, but worse for everybody, 2006, it was very similar. The war started off, and they had a bank of targets based on their intelligence of satellite infiltration, et cetera. And they have a bank of targets that they said this would disable Hezbollah. It sounds like the same thing all over again. So they went through their bank of targets, which was about 500 in 2006. It took them about a week to hit this 500 targets. Now they hit 800 targets in a day.
Wow.
Now, this target bank is supposed to eliminate Hezbollah's ability to do this and that, command and control, communicate, destroy warehouses of weapons, take out certain missile launch pads, et cetera, et cetera. That's what they're claiming. Now, the truth is, that's honestly, no one really believes that. Everybody knows Hezbollah's weapons are deep, deep underground. The chances of this really doing much is pretty small. If they couldn't do it to Hamas, they ain't going to do it to Hezbollah. But regardless of that, Here's the real situation. Israel has now publicly declared that they changed their border to include Lebanese territory south of the Litani River. This is, again, a repeat of something from history. Back in the day, Israel created a security buffer zone south of this river called the Litani River. So today, like within 24 hours ago, somebody in the Israeli government basically came out and said, we now recognize the land south of the Litani River as basically Israel. So this is a de facto attempt to annex that land. And in the past, Israel
invaded and occupied South Lebanon, displaced the native civilians who have been there for, I don't know, 5,000 years, 6,000 years, some crazy number, and then start Judaizing the territory. That's their term. They made the economy run in shekels and et cetera, et cetera. So they're taking over. So this happened in the past. This is like a repeat of that. And their goal, of course, would be development and Jewish neighborhoods and Judaizing and economy run on shekels, et cetera, et cetera. That's their goal. But because Hezbollah is such a problem, this is really going to be a no-man's zone that they're going to try to create. Now, they're not going to try to create this with infantry or mechanized divisions because that's suicide against Lebanon. They don't want to do that. They know that's suicide. That will play right into Hezbollah's hand. So they're not even trying to do that. What they're trying to do is actually create a no-man's land, a buffer zone to displace everybody. They're trying to do that actually through bombings and massacres. That's the real news of what they're really doing.
So, I see a lot of people questioning whether this bombing campaign is just a lead-in to invasion. You don't think that that is the strategy?
Well, they're not going to have a choice. They want to achieve their goals without invading, but the probability of that is like near zero. Because, okay, so this is an old strategy. We're going to create a buffer zone up the Litani River, and this will help create security for northern Israel. Well, that's an old strategy that used to work when Hezbollah's missiles were such short range that just pushing them back would effectively eliminate the missiles from being a problem. But that's a joke in today's world where Hezbollah could stand on the northern tip of Lebanon and hit the southern tip of Israel. So what is the buffer zone going to do? Absolutely nothing. They'll just launch rockets from north of the buffer zone or even within the buffer zone, because just because you bombed every human within the buffer zone doesn't mean Hezbollah can't come out of tunnels, launch rockets, and then go back in the tunnel. We've seen this in Gaza. So Israel really doesn't have an effective strategy here. This is just the prelude to a larger war. They wish they could achieve their aims without a ground invasion, but it's not going to happen. So because they have to do a ground invasion, they have to think what kind of ground invasion is going to work. The only one that's going to work is a huge-scale ground invasion. So what's going to happen is Syria and Lebanon are both going to come under very serious invasion, and it's going to be the prelude to World War III. That's basically, this is the beginning of the Lebanese border, and when it gets crossed, that's going to be written in the history books as the beginning of World War III. This is the border.
So the attacks yesterday, the 800 sites hit. I mean, do you have any idea of like if these were effective against Hezbollah? If they've taken out any missile, anything?
It's impossible that it would be effective because Hezbollah hasn't even rolled out their medium arsenal out of storage. I mean, they haven't even rolled them out. They're deep underground. So if they did blow up anything, it's the small stuff that they've been using. If you look at the list of Hezbollah's missile arsenal, they've only exposed the weakest 20%. So even if they blew up whatever missile launchers were near the surface, it's taken out things that are literally surplus military equipment from the Vietnam War era or even the Cold War era. Katyushas and slightly bigger ones like the Burkan heavy rocket. These are dirt cheap. They cost nothing. And they have an infinite quantity of those. That's nothing. They have ballistic missiles and all kinds of massive missiles. They have missiles that are almost two stories tall. And everybody knows these missiles are deep underground. So it's a joke to claim that they hit a couple sites with bunker busters, but not the biggest bunker busters, nothing like the mother of all bombs or anything like that. And Hezbollah has prepared their bunkers to survive nuclear strikes, mother of all bombs, everything you can think of. They're underneath 3,000 meters of limestone mountains. So, you know, no, these 800 strikes did nothing. It's just like 2006 all over again. The Air Force has to claim that they're doing all this and that. All they're doing is massacres. They told everyone to evacuate. The Israeli government told a huge region of Lebanon to evacuate, like a hilariously clownish large region. And then they're like, oh, see, we told you. And then they're just going to bomb everybody. They said, we're going to do to Gaza what we're going to try to do that to Lebanon. Basically, everyone really needs to be wondering, what is Hezbollah going to do? Are they going to turtle up, invite invasion, and use the typical resistance tactics of let them occupy Lebanese land and hit and run? Or are they going to counter-invade to stop the bombing on Lebanon? See, it's in the Israeli military interest to do massacres and massive destruction with the jets right now, you see, because otherwise they play into Hezbollah's hand. If they can make Hezbollah cry uncle and basically like shoot for a takedown first because they can't handle trading blows, Hezbollah would then be in the disadvantage in invading Israeli land. Hezbollah wants Israel to invade Lebanese land. That's where it's easy. So right now we're going to see who can hurt each other the most and then who's going to invade first. And it's going to be Israel. Lebanon's going to take a bunch of blows and not flinch. That's normal for Lebanon. Israel is going to be forced to invade. They can't handle the rockets. And they're going to go right into a massive war. So, yeah, that's what's about to happen. A lot of people are going to die in the Middle East because Israel, when they start losing, they're going to unleash race-based bioweapons. That's the real danger. And this is going to escalate with we're basically in the book of Revelations where it talks about the first horseman of the apocalypse was pestilence. Second horseman of the apocalypse was mass war. And this leads to a depopulation event. Well, at least for the Middle East, I guess everyone else is going to die in a different way. For the Middle East, it looks like Israel is going to release race-based bioweapons. That's going to cause huge death. But then after that, things are going to get better, actually. So it's not actually a black pill. Things get bad before they get better. That's how it goes. We're not actually at the time of the Antichrist coming out. We're not at the time of the second coming of Jesus. This is just the time before that mentioned in the Bible where there's a huge depopulation event and massive wars leading up to the revelation of the Antichrist.
Yeah, and here's a mainstream article we're seeing on screen about Israel's ethnic weapon. Israel is reportedly developing a biological weapon that would harm Arabs while leaving Jews unaffected. And this from all the way back in 1998, I think it says. So, yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while they've been developing this type of stuff. So, yeah, I do think, you know, what Hezbollah does is on everybody's mind, whether Iran gets in, whether America gets in, like what's the threshold of combat before America gets involved. We've been talking about and Hezbollah has been talking about the Radwan battalion and invading Israeli territory or unleashing a massive rocket attack. So, I mean, there's always a tit for tat. There's always a they hit, we hit, they hit, we hit sort of thing going on in the Middle East. Israel is hit now. So I guess it's Hezbollah's turn to move the chess piece. What do you think their next move is, or are they already doing it?
Yeah, exactly. So in Lebanon and Israel has Hezbollah achieved deterrence, and by that I mean quiet on the border, quote the Israelis. Hezbollah achieved quiet on the border for 17, 18 years. You can be an 18-year-old Lebanese kid, and you don't know what it's like for Lebanon to be bombed and destroyed because Hezbollah has achieved peace for 18 years. Before that, everyone is older than that. We're literally used to it. It's normal. Happens all the time. But today was the bloodiest day since 50 years in Lebanon. Israel is really trying to go hard here. This is not a normal day. So Hezbollah is just going to launch it, just make Israelis constantly scamper into shelters in a panic and just blow up a bunch of shit in random spots all over Israel. Because that's basically, to be honest with you, they're both doing the same thing to each other. They're just blowing up random spots. There's not 800 like verified targets like for Hezbollah. That's a total joke. You know what I mean? They're hitting. They told everyone in Lebanon to evacuate. Then they bombed the road that people are evacuating on. How many times have we heard Israel do that? They do that in Palestine, did that in Lebanon in the 90s, the 80s, and it's over and over. So there's no – Israelis don't – in Israel, it's just like kill them. You know, they don't care. There's no tact. So in Lebanon now, the public support has gone up for Hezbollah to pull out bigger missiles, shoot deeper, just hit random spots. And so that's what's going on right now, right now. Israel, everyone in Israel is not happy, okay? They're constantly having to flee into shelters in a panic, and they're posting videos online just wailing and screaming and crying. It's kind of funny. But it's sad at the same time, but they're really dramatic, okay? I'm not trying to be callous. They're wailing. Anyway, so not many of them have died, all right? Not many of them have died. Like 1,200 people got maimed or killed in Lebanon this morning.
Right.
And they don't post videos online wailing like that. So it's just there's different. So you basically what I'm saying is the home front of Israel is really not going to be able to withstand what Hezbollah can unleash. Everybody knows that. So right now they're just trying to kill a bunch of Lebanese people and they think that's going to, you know, change the situation. It's probably not. And Hezbollah, what they do next, really nobody knows, because to be honest with you, I think Hezbollah is going to turtle up. I think this is the time period to turtle up. And if Hezbollah can withstand these blows and keep firing rockets, they've basically forced Israel to invade, which is much better for Hezbollah. So right now it's in Hezbollah's interest to turn up the temperature on the indiscriminate rocket attacks. You know, sorry, Israelis. Force Israel to invade. And then Israel's only way to counter that is to invade with such a giant army that it overwhelms Hezbollah's ability to defend head-to-head. And then they're going to take a bunch of land really quickly, and then that'll force essentially Syria and Iran to jump in. America will jump in with a marine land invasion of Syria. America will not put troops in Lebanon. They're not stupid to do that. But Syria is like a failed state. Now, if America lands troops in Syria, that's basically the beginning of World War III right there, because Syria's security is protected by Russia. You can't do that. But they have tons of terrorist assets in Syria that are being trained and dormant to stab the resistance in the back to try to overthrow the Assad regime with the help of American invasion. They're not done trying to get rid of Assad. When they said Assad must go, they didn't give up on that. So they're just going to open up that file that the United States already has open. They're just going to keep it going and upgrade it, that the invasion and American focus will be on Syria. And then the American government has actually told Israel, we will not help you if you invade Lebanon. There's really not much public support anywhere for invading Lebanon. That's just Hezbollah forcing them to invade. It's like a trap. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and this is what is the sticking point for me, trying to like just, you know, game plan this out and war game this out, is like, what is Israel's tactic here? Like, what are they trying to achieve? I think obviously they are trying to bring in America. And I don't know if America is eager and on board with this because they want to start World War III and cancel the election.
Yeah, the only way, that's a great point. So the only way they can bring America in is not Lebanon. America will not help them destroy Lebanon or invade Lebanon, because America invests tons of money in Lebanon, and America has tons of partners in Lebanon. The biggest CIA base, the biggest state-of-the-art CIA base, that's a huge facility, like I don't know how many acres, it's in Lebanon. Lebanese government is like partnered with them. They work together. They're not even enemies. It's just Israel being belligerent. Lebanon's not even against America. So America is not, America funds everything in the Lebanese government. So America is not going to go to war with Lebanon. So the only way Israel can bring America in, they have to invade Syria, because America is at war with Syria. America is in a conflict with Syria, right? Because the Syrian oil fields are held by American soldiers right now, which is an act of war. They're there illegally. So it's not a problem for the United States to increase the dedication of assets to the overthrow of Assad. That wouldn't be a problem at all. That's an easy change. Actually, it's not a change in policy at all. It's not a change in policy. It's just a logistics difference. That's all. And so they have amphibious landing forces that will land on the coast of Syria. They're not. So in order for America to get involved, Israel has to invade and make a massive war with Syria and Lebanon, like, at the same time.
Okay, so yeah, I still have so many questions. So just the last few questions, because I got other callers on hold I want to get to. But Iran, how does Iran play into this? And just looking back at 2006 and seeing the way it played out and seeing how the opening salvo is similar to 2006, like, what happened in 2006 and how do you expect the current situation to differ from what happened in 2006? What's different about today than, you know, nearly 20 years ago?
Just the scale of destruction on both sides is bigger. Like, they can just bomb more, faster, more massacre. They can invade with a bigger army. Hezbollah has way, way more destructive capability. So the Israelis have not learned their lesson, because it's like tic-tac-toe. They're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. And they're trying to get out of this hold. And the only way to get out of this hold is to bomb so much shit in Lebanon, so much stuff in Lebanon, that Hezbollah can't take it anymore and has to do something crazy, like try to invade Israel or something like that. So that's why Israel is going to bomb so crazy in Lebanon. They're doing that because Hezbollah has them over a barrel. There's no way out for them. If they don't bomb, the entire northern Israel is a ghost town. If they don't invade Lebanon, northern Israel is a ghost town. The buffer zone is being enforced upon northern Israel, not southern Lebanon. And so they have to change the status quo. The status quo is bad for Israel right now with Lebanon. So in order to change it, they're trying to change it with bombing. Bombing will not work. Bombing does not make Lebanese people surrender, no matter how many massacres. So then they're going to have to invade. It's the same thing like in the past. It repeats over and over. As soon as they invade, it's a total shit show. Nobody thinks they can beat Hezbollah on the ground. Their only chance is they're going to put a bunch of reservists with no combat skills in a bunch of armored vehicles and just flood across the border with a huge quantity of armored vehicles. A bunch of them are going to fall into booby traps and die. And then they're going to keep swarming and try to just – and then Hezbollah will do, like, you know, a guerrilla war over time to – and there's no way they're going to win. We've been down this road so many times. So fighting a guerrilla war against Hezbollah is the biggest suicide operation of a land army you can imagine, especially a reservist land army. What a total joke. They're going to take a huge amount of casualties. So this is not going to work. All they're going to do is just kill a bunch of Lebanese people and then get themselves killed. It's a really bad strategy.
Yeah, brutal. Absolutely brutal. Thank you very much for the update, John. And yeah, we'll keep up with everything happening, the bombs are flying. I know there's alarms in Haifa right now with a big missile barrage from Hezbollah targeted there. So keep us up to date and let us know if any developments come. Thank you very much, John. And you can follow Lebanon John on X at Lebanon_John, I think. Is that your Twitter account?
Yeah, Lebanon_JOHN. Let's try to get the news out.
And it is just utter madness. Thank you very much, John. Let's go to Joe in Arkansas. A bit of a shift in topic, but Joe, you're on the air. Thank you for calling in from Arkansas.
Hey, Harrison. Thank you for taking my call. That's going to be a hard one to follow up on. But in this area that I live in north central Arkansas, which, you know, part of the Ozarks. And the last several weeks off Highway 65, there's been two different times that we have seen it. Saturday was the latest. Two groups of illegals, all of them men, walking Highway 65. They all had identical black bags. So, and on our way back, when we was coming back home Saturday, they were just like, Highway 65 is a pretty major highway through Arkansas. Pretty much goes all the way through the whole state, south to north. And so on our way back, they were basically just sitting in somebody's yard. Now, obviously, there was an easement because 65, you know, and power lines and all that. But, yeah, they were all just, like, sitting in somebody's yard. And, law enforcement around here, they don't do nothing. I mean, years ago, they would have probably stopped and questioned them, asked them where they're going, what they're doing. That same day that happened, they spent an hour and a half looking for somebody who went into a liquor store, bought a beer, poured it into a plastic cup, and walked out and was walking and drinking with the beer, and, you know, which is illegal. You know, half these counties around here are dry. So, but so something like that.
Right. So they're going to waste police resources tracking down somebody drinking a beer where they're not approved to, while you've got just a literal invasion going, just military contingents wandering down your highway and camping on people's front lawns, and they go totally unmolested. It's just an invasion,
that's
dude.
That's a true story.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a true story. Like an hour and a half, and it was like, you know, the radio's going back. Did you see them yet? You know, they finally caught them, but it's like, you know, it ain't like he went in there and stole it. But yeah, that's where their mindset is. You know, let's don't stop and question these people, you know, that are here illegally. You know, yeah, it's nuts. But hey, that's why we're where we're at.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I've seen a lot of stuff like that recently. There's a video that went viral last week of like a person on a scooter that was just like in a parking lot, sort of outrunning all these cops. And there's like three cop cars and a literal helicopter chasing this guy on a scooter, who literally just looks like he's goofing around. He's jumping curbs and riding down the sidewalk, and the cops are tearing after him, and helicopters in the air. Meanwhile, we're being invaded by, well, people from a country who the Biden and Harris administration say don't go there because of the cannibalism and the sexual assault and the criminality that is just completely endemic in that country. So they're bringing them here, and that'll be us soon enough. Thanks for the call, Joe. More calls on the other side. We break down this hell world being created for us. Thanks, globalists.
I'm asking viewers to just sit back for a moment and really think about the success InfoWars has had. And InfoWars isn't just me. It's not just the crew. It's not just our guest. It's all of you, the viewers and listeners, that give us intel, that spread the word, that support the broadcast. In the 30-year history of me being on air and 27 years of InfoWars, we have changed the world. And because we researched the globalist owned documents, we knew their game plan. I didn't learn all this stuff out of some Palantir crystal ball. I did it by reading the books and publications that these creatures put out, because they communicate with each other and are very honest about their diabolical plan for world government, depopulation, transhumanism, total robot control. And I've believed in humanity. I bet on you because I was betting on myself, and I know that it's always darkest right before the dawn. And so now in 2024, so close to this election, it is more critical than ever to not just keep InfoWars on the air, But to not take the reports and the videos and the articles and the interviews and to get those out to everybody you know. I understand that's really stating the obvious, but we have to understand how urgent the moment is and really redouble our efforts. And I'm saying that myself. I'm on the air 7 days a week. I'm doing a lot of interviews. I'm doing more special reports. We're going out in the field. We are busting our ass because the future destiny of humanity is really on the line right now. Now, a critical part of InfoWars continuing on and hopefully even expanding into the future is your support. And we make it so easy. We bring you the very best products that are out there that will empower and enrich your life at very competitive, affordable prices. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Read the 5-star reviews for the great InfoWars MD line and the other great supplements as well. They really are incredible. They're the very best that the supplement industry has to offer, and they really work. That's why people love them. The fastest growing industry in the United States, other than AI, is supplements year after year for 30 years because people are seeing the incredible effects. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are more than 15 products under the InfoWars MD line, and they're all amazing. But some of my favorites are the Nitric Boost that cleans out the blood, the cardiovascular system, and has a lot of great side effects that men will particularly notice. You need to check it out for yourself. You hear the callers talking about it all the time without me even prompting them. It is amazing. Then you've got Joint Relief Max that is a natural pain reliever. Works really, really well in a healthy way. You have Turmeric 95. 95% curcuminoid. This is where we get the turmeric for Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. They're both excellent. InfoWars MD. We've got the full spectrum CBD gummies. 25 milligrams. Great anti-inflammatory. Isn't a downer. Isn't a depressant, but makes you very relaxed and focused. It's almost like a stimulant in a weird way, but it's different. And then, of course, we've got other great products for women and men, Ageless Vitality, just high-quality collagen. All of this funds our operation. And, of course, these are 25-milligram gummies. They work great. We have 1,000-milligram tincture that is made by one of the top manufacturers in the country who sells it at retail for twice the price we sell it, then they discount it. Even at the discount, we're selling it for about 50% less than the actual manufacturer does. There's not as much profit, but it's a great deal. 1,000 milligram CBD oil, InfoWars MD, that's the tincture. Then we've got all these other amazing products from InfoWars MD as well. They're excellent, and it funds the operation. So go to InfoWarsStore.com today and check out the InfoWars MD line. While you're at it, get a high-quality water filtration, get storable food, get books, get films, get T-shirts. All of it will enrich your life, inform your mind, and keep us on the air. That's critical right now. I humbly thank you for your support. Now please go to InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. More calls to go to here. Let's go to Baker in California. Where do you see this Israel-Lebanon conflict going, Baker? You're on the air.
I think Lebanon John like explained it pretty much the best that anyone could, and I think he knows more than I do about that. But I will say this, is that whole invasion in Syria, I think that is the key, because we got to remember that when President Trump was in office, people like John Bolton were like chomping at the bit to invade Iraq and Syria to fight ISIS. And, you know, the what's so key about what Trump did is that Trump identified the leaders that we know about, and he killed them directly, which totally cut off the networks. And our government doesn't want to do that. The war industrial complex doesn't want to cut the head off the snake. They just want to continue these conflicts and perpetuate them, right? Right. So like when, you know, when Trump tells that story about the Taliban leader, and he's like shows a picture of his house, and he's like, "Dude, I'll kill you," like, all of the warmongers like hate that because they don't want to directly cut off these networks. They want to continue fighting them. Right. And so, right. And so, dude, and I kind of want to, this is kind of, it's related to this, but, you know, that Trump assassin guy, how he was trying to recruit Afghanis, to fight in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Well, where do they train them? In Pakistan. And where does the CIA, where has the CIA been running networks for since the 70s? In Pakistan. Where did we train the Mujahideen? Pakistan. Where did ISIS, where's ISIS-K? Pakistan. So the CIA, ISIS, and that dude, there's some relation to that, man. And I hope something comes out about that, because that, I mean, that is like, how could they let that guy get caught? Because now it's obvious the CIA is trying to kill Trump. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, and we've seen Ukrainian commanders on video with the ISIS patch, like dudes that fought for ISIS, were commanders in ISIS, were then moved to Ukraine to train the Ukrainians because they're all CIA, because it's all a giant CIA operation. You are exactly right, Baker. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to John in Ontario now. John, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, and all the info warriors out there. Glad to be online here. So I wanted to talk about the Japanese concept of the Sasuke, which is the concept, the idea of the final form. And if you've ever, you know, watched anime or played Japanese video games, you probably have come across this. It's basically the idea that when your enemy is defeated, they change. Into the embodiment of this, like whatever the evil there that is, that it is they're following, like a demonic thing, and they become this unbeatable, invincible force. And I think that's what we're seeing in terms of the New World Order. It's been defeated, and it's going to change into this thing that it cannot come back from. So the strategy for us, I think, is changing, where it's like we can't defeat, but we can outlast. And that's sort of the message I wanted to get out there.
You said we can't defeat, but we can outlast?
Yeah, it's sort of like this final form is invincible. It's a temporary thing. It's like all, you know, it's like Bane. It's all jacked up on all these drugs and everything, and it's not going to be able to survive the injection that it's taken. But in destroying itself, it's going to try and bait us into a fight. And it's similar to what's happening in the Middle East right now. There's this total baiting, and it's like, let's bait everybody into a world war. But I think that the best idea for, at least for myself, is I'm just going to try and avoid this whole thing, because I don't see any resolution here. Like, I don't see a solution.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest issue for me is the technology they have and the AI that they have, because I would agree that, you know, it's almost like we've moved past revelation. Like, we've moved past the time period where all of these lies need to be exposed. Like, they're all exposed now. Now we need to move against it. Now we need action, actually dismantling the programs. The problem is that the people who run the AI that surveils everybody and is constantly collating and, you know, algorithmically sorting everyone and their reactions, they know to a very minute detail, like, how far they can push things before pushback comes and is devastating to them. So they're progressing their agenda by pushing it right up to the line where they get major pushback, but not enough, not going so far that they're actually in danger, but far enough. The riots in the UK is a great example, right? They didn't push things so far that everybody in the UK rose up and overthrew their government and started a civil war and started actual fights in the street. Like, that would be something they couldn't contain and would be really bad for them. They didn't let it get there. They let it get so far that the sort of fringe people, the people in the most extreme, at least took to the streets. They at least went out and tried to do something, and then they just round them up and, you know, imprison them all. And then the next round will be even more oppressive, will be even more insane. And, you know, the people that didn't get involved in the first time are going to be so cowed that they're not going to get involved in the second time. So it's this, the algorithmic ability for them to surveil and to test, you know, inputs and say, okay, if we do this, how are people going to react? If we do this, how are people going to react? And then choosing their path of least resistance that way, I think is is very dangerous and could potentially go on forever. It's up to us to short circuit their algorithm, to do things that are unexpected or unaccounted for that they can't manipulate and manage and control. And it's possible. I think we can do it, but we have to recognize it and then make a conscious effort to do this. It's not just going to happen naturally or by accident, I don't think. Thanks so much for the call, John. Let's go to Dave in Arizona. You have a Bible verse you want to share with us. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mr. Harrison. And sure. Amazing calls all morning this morning. As you know, we're already in World War III, but I hope that President Trump, he's anointed by the Lord, can bring us through this. So Exodus 21:6 today out of New King James. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost. And his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. So that's analogous to July 13th for me, sir. After the slave has served 6 years, he's free to leave. Now, if he had a wife when he came in, he takes his wife with him. If the master has given him a wife and given him kids, the wife and the kids shall stay. So the slave has a difficult choice. Do I stay with the master because my wife and my kids are there, because I love the master, I love my wife, I love my kids? And if so, you serve that master forever. So as we went to Pastor Jerome's service last night, Jesse and I, and met some friends there, Kathy, RJ couldn't be there. He spoke of this, and this is, I think, the anointing of President Trump.
Very interesting.
So it's Exodus 21:6, sir.
Very interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting choice. Thank you very much for that, Dave. I don't know if I have anything to add to that, but certainly something to think about. Thank you for that. Let's go to Alex in Nevada now. Go ahead, Alex. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. You know, you are in the top 10. I think you're running neck and neck with Owen. And, of course, Alex Jones is top of the dog.
Amen.
You know, hey. Is Chase there anywhere? Is Chase there anywhere? Chase, do you hear me? I'm doing my best to send all my friends and family to InfoWarsStore.com so I can get you that pay bump. Yeah, I hope you're going to get it before InfoWars might be shut down. So look, you know, this thing in Israel, it's not really Israel, not as I can see it. Ancient Israel took a big chunk all the way up through Turkey, all across Iraq, down to a big chunk out of Iran. You go southward, it eats up everything and takes a chunk out of Egypt. And so what you've got over there calling themselves Israel is a bunch of little Jews and actually the Benjamites. So there are 10 tribes who are lost. But there are two that are kind of like still hanging out, the Jews and the Benjamites. And what's really kind of comical about it is you have Benjamin Netanyahu running the show over there, and it's kind of like a namesake thing. So you really have Benjamites running the show. And so, look, the little nation of Israel, as they call themselves now, they're really going to get their arse handed to them real soon. And you know, it's in prophecy. If anybody really tails into prophecy hard, you'll see that they're going to get their arse handed to them real soon. And as far as the United States goes, we are mostly of the tribe of Ephraim. And so we support them no matter what. And it's kind of a convoluted thing. And it's, you know, something that it would take me hours to describe it all, but I'm not going to go into biblical bull on all that. The thing that's going to happen, and you can put it on your calendar, they're going to get their arse handed to them real soon. And you can pretty much bet that the United States is going to suffer a little bit. I would suggest that maybe over the next 4 years or less, New York City and Washington, D.C. are going to be bereft of people. You know, the buildings will still be there. And prophecy states that, well, the buildings will be perfectly fine. They'll be all great, but there won't be any life in New York or Washington, D.C. And so that's kind of some really high up stuff. And so, hey, Chase, I'm working for you. I'm doing all I can to get all of my people to go to InfoWarsStore.com.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And look, I don't know. Because, again, I just go back to the algorithms that they have, the fact that Israel has nuclear bombs. I don't know how easy it's going to be to hand their butts to them, but we shall see. We shall see. All of this, of course, is just guesswork at this point. We'll see how it plays out, but I don't know how this can go on that much longer. We'll go now to William in Arkansas. Thank you for the call, Alex. William in Arkansas, you are on the air about Haiti. Now, the latest from Haiti, the headline today is that the Biden-Harris admin warns Americans, do not travel to Haiti due to risk of kidnapping, sexual assault, and murder. So the same country that we are importing hundreds of thousands of people from in giant blocks that are all getting temporary status that is meant to be made permanent. Apparently, you shouldn't go there because they'll kill you if you do. But we'll bring them here, and then they'll be, you know, just as American as apple pie. William, what's your take on this?
Oh, it's convoluted. I went to Haiti after the earthquake during June, right after that. And certainly it has changed. I saw a difference in morality there. I had the streets open to me, in a sense. Too much to discuss in such a short period of time. We cannot fathom the lack of structure that's down there because we live in a structured environment. I don't justify bringing them folks here. We're doing them an injustice just as much as we are our own self. It's like, you know, and it's not just from Haiti. It's from anywhere that an outside culture is thrust into our culture, and they've been given a few fiat currency dollars and said, you know, you're welcome. You know, it's unreal what's going on. You know, for once, I have to agree with Miss Hillary Clinton that, you know, what do you do when the other political party won't listen, won't sit down to look at the facts? They're always dodging the facts. And that's not our side. That's not, you know, Trump's side. That's not the conservative side. I'm not a party person. I can't stand either party. You look at both parties when they were formed, and 15 years later, you got the American Civil War. It's about to be the same thing, formed by the same people. I think they're going to do something to steal this election or prohibit an election or, you know, hope to God they don't, you know, accidentally or on purpose, whatever. It seems like they can't get the job done. Terminate Trump. It's going to cause a civil war. I wouldn't be a cop in this nation for nothing right now. We expect the law officers. We're always pointing at somebody else. Well, the Second Amendment was not created for somebody else. It was created for a situation like we have where everything's just totally chaos. It's just totally unrecognizable. Every county out there's got, what, a handful of cops? And if something really goes ballistic, everybody's going to get on their phone and call the 20 law officers in their community. Well, what the hell is 20 guys, 30 guys going to do, you know, against a organized crime syndicate? You know, take example, the county officers or the city officers there in Aurora. You think that 20 officers, 30, 40, 50 officers, you think they're going to go in and be able to actually combat, fight? You know what the press would do with those guys? All of them aren't trained to do that. You see some of the women that they send in there, and some of the men aren't trained. You know, big donut eaters, you know, been sitting around eating donuts, you know, can't run. But they're sitting there as law officers. I'm not degrading them, but you better get in shape. The physical requirements of a cop should be the same as an infantry soldier, you know? Yeah.
No, and look, you're pointing to the biggest frustration in all of this, which is the fact that, you know, we could solve it. If it was just anarchy, it wouldn't even be that big of an issue, right? If there was no authority, it really wouldn't be that big of a problem for Americans to take care of this stuff. The problem is that we have delegated all of our physical force to this group that has now decided we're not worth protecting. Yet, if we try to protect ourselves, they'll come after us with everything they've got. So we're actively being prevented from taking measures to protect ourselves or our neighborhoods or our children, while the criminals are being literally imported by the hundreds of thousands. And I don't know what was going on last night in Philadelphia, but just to emphasize your point, William, about being a cop these days, there are some scenes of rioting. Again, I don't know, was there a sports game last night, or was it just another Sunday night in the dystopian hell world of America as it descends into third world nation status? Let's go to some of these videos. Filmed last night, a police cruiser being attacked by a horde of youths, of young gentlemen. There's the police car attempting to drive through the crowd as it gets totally swarmed. We're talking about, you know, Night of the Living Dead style zombie apocalypse happening on the streets of Philadelphia. God only knows why. Here's another drone shot of either the same or a similar event. Again, it doesn't even look like they're mad. This is just a good time. Is this Joker 2? Is this what we're watching? Are we living in a Marvel movie? A DC movie? So, yeah, who knows? I mean, I guess this is America. This is America now. This is America 2024, just like the founders intended. Just hordes of foreigners attacking police in the city where the Declaration of Independence was signed. Really makes you think, doesn't it? Just wild. And there's more videos where you can see these cops just trying desperately to maintain order. Illegal car meetup leads to violence across Philadelphia. One officer injured in crash. So, okay, so it's just for a good time. Just your after-school activities then. It is utter madness. It is utter and complete madness. And, of course, all of this is coming from the top down, right? It's all of this culture is being set by the people in power who will justify any criminal activity, who act like following rules is white supremacy, obeying the law is some subtle act of racism to trick the black people somehow. It's just like, no, you just follow the law. Like, what is hard about this? When you talk about Haiti, William in Arkansas said, people don't understand the level of dysfunction. I know about it. I don't even understand it. There's a city of 300,000 people in Haiti. They have no electricity. They have no schools. They have no hospitals. How does that work? How does that even work? I mean, 300,000 people living in a geographic area with no infrastructure, no education, no hospitals, eating dirt. They're just eating dirt and cats. Like, you think that it's not possible. You think, like, well, somehow the American system is just so strong that it forces everybody to be a great, responsible genius and to follow the rules. Like, no, folks. Look at South Africa. What's happened to South Africa? What's happened to Rhodesia, which became Zimbabwe, is going to happen worldwide. The only problem is, what happened in Zimbabwe is they begged for all the white farmers to come back because they were starving. What happens when there's nobody to come back? What happens when the genocide is total and the replacement migration is complete and all of the capable people who built a functional society are all subsumed under the tide of just barbarism and savagery? Who do you turn to then? And there's actually, in Zimbabwe, there's been a massacre of 200 elephants. The government has approved the killing of 200 elephants, which are to be distributed to hunger-stricken Zimbabwe families. These are landowners, hardworking, educated people who can't do anything with their land. These educated people can't even produce food for themselves. So apparently they're eating the elephants now. So it's kind of like, you know, it's not just for the good of America or the good of Europe or like for white people that like this has to stop. Like once the civilizations that we've built come crumbling down, like that's it. It just descends into total, absolute, irreversible destruction forever. So, yeah, maybe we need to get a handle on this before everything is lost. I want to go to one more video. I don't know if we'll have time to get to all of it, but it's Megyn Kelly, and she just did a fantastic job. We're not going to have time to go to it. Darn it, and this is the last segment of the show. I'm getting thrown off. Folks, I apologize. I'll have to show it to you tomorrow, or maybe Alex will show it on his show, or I don't know who's guest hosting Alex. I think it's a guest host. I know Mike Adams is on Alex Jones tomorrow with some huge breaking news. You're definitely going to want to tune in for that. You're obviously going to want to stay tuned for Alex Jones. But the reason I'm a little bit out of sorts here is this is just, I think, the second day that we've done this show with only two commercial breaks per hour. One of those is 60 seconds. So for an entire hour, you're getting nothing but teleprompter-free, brand-new content. We have a four-minute break in the middle of the hour and a one-minute break after the first five, and that's it. So for everybody who's complained about commercial breaks on InfoWars, we have eliminated more than half of our commercial breaks in any single hour. Please don't make us regret that. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com. You've asked, we've answered, you've said there are too many commercial breaks. We've gone from, what, 15 minutes an hour of commercial breaks to five. So don't make us regret that. If anything, I would hope we would be rewarded for this by you going to InfoWarsStore.com. Make sure that we can remain with a minimum amount of commercials. Make sure that we don't have to go back to breaking up our coverage every couple of minutes. Make sure to go to InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air. Keep us in the fight. Keep yourself healthy with Vitamin Mineral Fusion. All of the vitamins and minerals you need for all day in a delicious fruit drink mix at InfoWarsStore.com. Get yourself something that you will appreciate and will improve your life noticeably, like Nitric Boost or Vitamin Mineral Fusion. Keep us on the air. Keep us commercial free at InfoWarsStore.com. Stay tuned for the Alex Jones Show. Begins in 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Today's conspiracy theories, tomorrow's truths.
Some of these conspiracy theories have turned out to be true.
Which ones?
The Trump-Russia witch hunt, Jeffrey Epstein, JFK assassination, the misuse of the Patriot Act, the Iraq war, the weapons of mass destruction, the war in Ukraine, the bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline, the open border migration caravans, the climate change scam, chemtrails, and HARP, and 9/11 being an inside job, and the Internet of Things surveillance grid, and PFAs, and chemicals in the water turning everyone gay, and the 2020 election being stolen, and January 6th being filled with undercover feds, and Bilderberg, and Bohemian Grove, and global government, not to mention gain-of-function research, and the threat of China, and collapsing birth rates, and defund the police, and George Soros, and mail-in ballots, and big tech censorship, and disinformation agencies, and Obama's birth certificate, and probably some others I can't think of. I mean, so a few of them. I guess a couple of them have been true.
You will meet so many amazing people wearing the shirt. I'd say you'll get probably 50 compliments before you get one person screaming at you.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States.
But it's an adventure to wear any of these shirts, but particularly this one. Get this design and so many others. They're limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on air in our fight against the globalist. And I want to thank you so much for your support, because literally, when you call in thanking me on air, I say stop, because I'm thanking you. I love fighting the globalist. This is what I do. We've had such a huge effect together. So I want to thank you all for your past support. Encourage you now to go to thealexjonesstore.com and be sure to enter for the free truck and $10,000 and buy more product, support the broadcast, and get entered 5 or 10 times, depending on the day, each time you buy a product. This new initiative is so important to the future. So everybody, if you support what we're doing and want to get great shirts and ball caps at the same time, go to thealexjonesstore.com. And I almost forgot, most of these shirts come in multiple colors.